Welcome to Crosswalk Talk with ordained ministers Carlotta Waldman and her co-host Pat Torek. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross so that we can walk the walk and live the life in Him. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your opportunity to share true stories of God intervening in the lives of real people today. Stories of miraculous healing, intervention, God's provision, divine appointments, or of receiving undeserved favor. Carlotta Waldman is an author, Bible college educator, and ordained minister of counseling. Pat Torek is an evangelist, worship leader, and healing prayer minister. Now here's Carlotta Waldman.
Thank you, Dan. Tonight we're going to try to provide some answers for those of you that have been emailing almost incessantly, asking questions about how to discern a true prophet and a true teacher from a false one in these last days. We know that there are lots of verses that warn us to be able to discern, you know, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves, and you'll know them by their fruits, that the false prophets will deceive many, that false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders. And how can we tell if their source is Jehovah God or if it's a source from the dark side? Woe to you when men speak well of you, it says, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. So this says something about prophets not being accepted, especially in their own hometown, but those that, you know, give words for itching ears and just what people want to hear and give flattery will be accepted. So how do you know? How do you know? So I've invited Apostle Diane Nutt to be with us again. She was just a fountain of information when I brought this subject up to her. And I just want to turn it over to her pretty quickly. She's, as you know, she's been a pastor of a church. Now her husband is pastoring the church, and now she's traveling. And she is just not only a wealth of information, but of love. And that counts for a whole lot with me. I like the statement that says that people care more about that, you know, that you care than what you know. And I want to welcome not only our co-host, Teresa Hudson, to the program tonight. Welcome, Teresa.
Thank you, Carlotta. I'm so glad to be here with you and Diane. It's going to be awesome.
But also Apostle Diane Nutt. How are you tonight, Diane?
Thank you. I am so blessed and excited about this topic that we're going to be talking about tonight and sharing. And I'm just believing for all of those who are listening that there's just going to really be a lot of information and just wisdom and understanding. And from it all, we will benefit in knowing Christ even more. And that's really the ultimate goal right there, is God uses the fivefold ministry to equip believers and to equip saints so that we can know Christ more and be able to reveal Him to others.
Amen. So we have lots of questions coming in through the email. You know, what is a true prophet? What is a true prophet and what is a false one? What would you say, Apostle Diane?
Well, okay, I love the Word of God because that is the final word and that is the truth. And so we know in Ephesians in chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 11, it says that He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers, and it's pretty much what I just shared with everyone, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So,
wow.
You kind of touched, that's powerful, isn't it?
Yes. That's a lot of equipping. That's a pretty big job description for a fivefold minister.
It is. It really is. And every one of the offices there, you know, they have a and this is the only way I know how to describe it and to say it, is there is a degree of anointing on each one of these offices. Of course, they all have different functions, and whenever the saints, and I'm going to get to your question, but I want to share this because it kind of leads into it. There's when a true prophet is in the midst of a people, and an apostle as well, but speaking for a prophet, there's going to be a release of the prophetic anointing, which every born-again believer is born again by the Spirit of God and has a prophetic, everyone has prophetic insight. Everyone is a prophetic person if you've been born again by the Spirit of God. But not everyone is a prophet of God. And so we have to understand that as a prophetic people, that everyone can prophesy. And that is a beautiful gift that the Lord has given for all of us to be able to operate and to function in. But when the body of Christ comes to that place of unity, as what I just read in the Word of God, the equipping of the saints, when there's that fullness of that equipping, every single saint is going to be able to walk in a dimension of the fivefold ministry. And so you can walk in a dimension of each one, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, but it does not mean that you have the authority or the
right
leadership of that office gift.
Right.
And so,
imagine, Diane, that some people aren't aware that the Bible does say in Corinthians and somewhere else that all can prophesy one by one, and to covet the best gifts, and especially the gifts of prophecy. And there's certainly strong indications in other places that we are to covet the prophetic gifts, and not so much that we go into divination, but that God isn't holding out on us, that lots of people can be prophetic. All believers can be prophetic, and it's something that we're commanded to covet.
That's right, and it's really a precious thing that the Lord has given to each one of us. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, I just want to share a little bit, and it's going to help everyone that's listening to hear the truth. When you know the truth and when you know what is real, then you can discern what is counterfeit.
Yes.
And what is not true. And so in sharing just a few little things here, this will hopefully open up the eyes of your understanding and illuminate your heart so that you'll know truth concerning prophets, because God still uses apostles and prophets today. And in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 20, the Word of God talks about the church being built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And so a prophet, a true prophet of God, will receive commandments and prophecies and revelations from God. And then at that time that the prophet is released to share, then he will, or she will, because, you know, when we live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, it has nothing to do with a gender. And so that's another thing, too. A prophet is not a male. A prophet is spirit. And so, you know, the Bible doesn't say what I just read in Ephesians chapter 4, that there would be prophets and prophetess. A prophetess is not a part of the fivefold ministry gift. And so, and we can talk about that in a little bit, too, Carlotta, if you want to. share that because the prophetess has a different anointing than a prophet of God. And so, but everyone's always tried to connect the two together, but then there would be apostolesses and pastoresses and teacheresses mm-hmm. and evangelesses. And so anyway, a prophet, his main responsibility or a prophet's responsibility is to make known to people God's will and the true character of God is revealed to man. And also a prophet can and has that responsibility to show God's dealings with people sometimes. And so a prophet denounces sin and will tell about the consequences of a sin. And so there are actually, well, there's so many things. My spirit is so full. A prophet is given revelation to guide the church. And a prophet, of course, many of you have probably heard this, is a seer and a revelator person and one who is always receiving for the people. And a prophet is also someone who has a life of prayer, is yeah. someone who really stays in the place of intercession. And so when a prophet is functioning in their office, the Spirit of God is going to be, of course, so present. The love of God is going to be so revealed. And there have been many people in the church that have had a prophetic anointing. They've been an intercessor who has they've been in the deep places of prophetic intercession. But these people, Carlotta and Teresa, and those who are listening, have stepped out with information that they have been given and have gone to leaders and have gone to pastors of churches, leaders of ministries, and have spoken words of rebuke and words of correction. And so it has really given a bad taste in the mouth of leaders and in the body of Christ, and people seeing leaders having been hurt by these, and it's simply because there's not been enough teaching. And so many people have thought because they've had a prophetic anointing and they were prophetic that they were a prophet and held that office and anointing and leadership of a prophet. And so God is going to restore the office of the apostle and prophet, and because of the scripture that I just read in Ephesians, because the church is going to be built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets. And is there any questions to this right now?
I like how you clarified the role, because I do believe that love is the driving motivation, a passion for Christ and to know Him. And that the prophet will be an expression of the heart of Christ for the individual or the church, the government, whatever. And if that's not there, then that's a telltale sign right there if the motivation is not love.
Yes, absolutely. I've seen throughout the past many years, I've seen a lot of damage from those who have gotten things in the place of intercession and who have thought that they have the authority and, you know, the anointing to go to leaders and pastors and to correct them. And I being one that God has called as an apostle but as a prophet also, I remember the very day, Carlotta, in September of 1987, I was sitting in the mail room downtown Dallas of TU Electric, and I was fasting and reading the Word of God, and the Lord began to speak to me and tell me that He had called me as His prophet, you know, to root up and to pull down and to dig up and to the plant. And at that particular time, just because I had not been around the charismatic full gospel church at that time, I really didn't even know what a prophet was. But I remember saying to the Lord, "Oh, Lord, thank you. I've seen that in the Bible. I've seen prophet in the Bible." And, of course, the Lord began to reveal to me, you know, information and began to download information into my spirit. And I began to see how he had been molding me for quite some time, because Jeremiah said that I was formed in my mother's womb as a prophet, you know, being one who was called to the nations. And so when the Lord spoke that to me, I never shared it with anyone. And, you know, the Lord, he revealed it, though, to leaders, and he revealed it to pastors, that gifting and that office in my life. But it was something that the Lord spoke to me in my time of fasting and praying as I was seeking God's direction, you know, in the ministry and just in my life, period. And so, and then, you know, I, as I said, I didn't really ever share that with anyone. I didn't see the need to at that point because I really didn't know a whole lot. And but I actually, because of being led by the Spirit of God, actually knew more than I knew with my mind, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
But because I had already fruit in my life from that office that I didn't even, wasn't even really aware of, because I didn't have the understanding of it. And so there came a point in time, that was in 1987, and then about 5 years later, or no, excuse me, I'm wrong on that. It was 3 years later. In 1990, I had a ladies group that was meeting in my home. And we had gone through that meeting that night, and there just came this amazing presence of God into my living room that night. And we were all just standing there in awe. And it was a very fearful thing. This presence of God that was there, I still don't really know how to put it into words, but it was just a very God-fearing presence of the Lord. And I don't mean being afraid or, you know, anything like that. It was just a very God-fearing presence that was there and very strong. Mm. And all of a sudden, one of the ladies, she said, "Diane, may I share something and that's really strong in my spirit?" And I said, "Sure." And I knew something was going to happen simply because of the presence of God that was in that place, you know, in my living room. And then she spoke these words, and she said, "We need to all get down on our knees. We need to get down before the Lord, because there is a true prophet in our midst." And I had never said anything. And as, I mean, we all went down. I mean, I was down with everybody. And we were bowing before the Lord. And as in that moment, as I got caught up in the Spirit, the Lord literally showed me a vision of digging up this old stuff, rooting up and, excuse me, and pulling up and then laying a foundation. And then after several minutes went by, the lady who had said that spoke and said, "The Lord told me and has said that he has called you as one to walk in the office of a prophet." And, you know, and the Lord had already spoken that, you know, to me that day in 1987. And so, it, you know, it's a very, that it's a very fearful thing, but so many in the body of Christ have put themselves in that place And it's been very it's been very damaging to the growth of the body of Christ. But, you know, God's merciful and he's gracious and he really is bringing a understanding to the people of God that he still uses apostles and prophets and he's still speaking through them, and the church has got to get back to that place to where she is listening to what the Lord has spoken to his prophets to speak out to the body of Christ, because it is to benefit the body of Christ. It's not to, you know, a prophet's job is not to condemn and not to put down, and really I'm just going to be real careful in saying this. In all these years, most of what I have spoken as one being called as a prophet of God has always been edifying, and it has always lifted up and built up the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And very seldom have I had to say things which we would consider, you know, the human side of us, in saying, in not wanting to say. So there's been very few things that I've had to speak to people, you know, to leaders, that have been in a sense of what most would say in bringing correction, you know, into people's lives. And so there's a real fine line there, and people have to be really, really careful when you're listening to someone who is calling themselves as a prophet, and there's really not any fruit in their life, and because false prophets do speak, you know, all the time of what you want to hear. The true prophet will speak what you don't want to hear, but it's out of the spirit of love. And so, does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I don't know if people know that we can feel it in the spirit when they're pulling on us to say a certain thing. And but it's part of our job to discern the difference between, I mean, they may not even say anything out loud, but they're thinking like, I want you to fix my husband, God, you know, something like that. And you can feel it, that they are just trying and trying and trying, you know, praying and praying and praying that you'll say just what they want you to say. But a true prophet can hear what God wants to say, and he knows best, and he has their best interest at heart.
That is so true, and that is really in alignment with, you know, with the Word of God. And you were sharing this when you first started off sharing, Carlotta, and that was, you know, you have to test the Spirit. And 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, do not put faith in every spirit, but prove and test the spirits to discover whether they proceed from God, for many false prophets have gone forth into the world." And it says, "By this ye may know and perceive and recognize the Spirit of God." And so every spirit that acknowledges and confesses the fact that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, actually has become man and come in the flesh, is of God and has God for its source. And so this is a really deep subject, because a lot of prophets, as well as, you know, pastors and leaders being hurt, a lot of prophets have been hurt as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because they, you know, they've had this gift, they've had this revelation, you know, they've waited to, and waited, well, you know, Lord, where am I supposed to speak this? Where am I supposed to deliver it? Because just like Jeremiah, it's, you know, it's like fire shut up in your bones, because God has given prophets the word of the Lord. And it's always, as I shared from the very beginning, it is to make known the will of God, mm-hmm. and the true character of God, to show that to man, but also to reveal at times God's dealings with people as well, because a prophet will denounce sin and will also share about the consequences. And in doing that, a lot of times people, you know, the Holy Spirit really brings a conviction of truth into people's lives. And so, you know, we have to be careful in judging by the Spirit, and always, as what you just shared, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of God, always in speaking, there's going to be, the love of God is going to be manifested, whether it is something that you want to hear or you don't want to hear. You know, the love of God is present, and it's like you're captivated by God's love. And so, so that's a very, very easy way, I guess you could say it like that, too. And in discerning if a prophet is a true prophet or not. And so you just cannot believe everything. And, you know, you have to look at a person's life. As a prophet, you know, are they consumed with God? Are they someone who, as you shared, Carlotta, in their own hometown is not very well received, even though they're acknowledged, but when they're away from their hometown, it's just there's so much fruit, you know, that comes forth. And, you know, there's many, many ways, you know, you can check, well, what is the, I guess the I can't say it correctly, authenticity?
Yes.
Of the, you know, the validity of the Word of God that they've spoken, does it come to pass? You know, is what this person speaking and has spoken into other people's lives, is it coming to pass? Because a lot of people, you know, speak as the prophet words, and they never come to pass. Of course, you can get into another area with that, because when a prophet speaks forth a word, and because we only know in part, and so when we prophesy the word of the Lord to someone, it is that person's responsibility to whom that word has been spoken to. It becomes that person's responsibility. It's not up to the prophet of God to make the word come to pass. It, you know, it's up to the person who the word has been given to, or even corporately, you know, words that are given corporately, or even for nations, but it is up to us as individuals to do whatever our part is in seeking the face of God and taking those steps that need to be taken to see the word of God come to pass.
And for those that don't understand that, some prophecies are conditional on your cooperation and some are not. Like prophecies in Revelation are going to come to pass, you know, the end times, the Armageddon are going to come to pass whether any of us agree with it or believe in it or not. But if a prophet gives you a rhema or a personal word for yourself, then it requires your cooperation. I don't suggest running out and trying to make it happen, but we have to embrace that word. We have to believe it, and I call it war with it. Sometimes you have to declare and decree it and be willing and available in order for it to come to pass.
That is so true, because every word in the book of Psalms, the word of God tells us that every word tries us. And
wow.
So, you know, one thing that is so powerful about the Word of God is that in the Word of God, and I believe it's, and I don't have the exact scripture, and maybe you know where this is, Carlotta, when I share it, but, you know, the Word of God says to confess the Word and then believe in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to, as you're hearing that word, you have to confess the word with your mouth, That's one thing. But then there's another part to it. You have to believe in your heart that the Word of God, that it is His Word. And if it doesn't bear witness with your spirit, and let me say this, there are many times that a word, it will bear witness with your spirit, but your mind cannot understand it.
And also the opposite. I think a lot of people today who call themselves Christians, much less dealing with a personal prophecy, have believed with their mind, but not their heart.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And you cannot, you have to believe in your heart. And so when you confess that word with your mouth and then you believe it with your heart, that means you, in your heart, you're totally, you know the heart is sometimes referred to as the spirit of man. Mm-hmm. And so you know even when you can't understand with your mind. And so don't just automatically just put that and, you know, and throw it out because your mind doesn't understand it. It's just like when the Lord said that He called me as a prophet, it's like I was happy and I was really elated and, you know, but I really did not know what a prophet was at all because I knew nothing about the fivefold ministry, even though I had already been walking in it for quite some time, having been led by the Holy Spirit. But I was excited, you know, and I just remember saying, oh, Lord, I've seen that word in the Bible before. And so my mind had absolutely no understanding, but my spirit bore witness with what the Lord was speaking to me, you know, at that very moment.
And that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it. I think prophetic people, and especially prophets, have honed their ability to live in the spiritual realm and out of their spiritual senses. We all have a brain, a lump of meat, and a natural mind, but prophets learn how to live in alignment with the mind of Christ and have spiritual senses and spiritual eyes and spiritual ears and learn to trust the spiritual realm even more than the natural realm.
Mm-hmm.
I want to encourage some of our listeners right quick, though, to call in. The number is 917-388-4683. 917-388-4683. Teresa, has anyone called in yet with a question?
Yes, on line 7, Apostle Abrams has called in. I believe he's a fellow Blog Talk Radio host.
I want to encourage some of our listeners right quick, though, to call in. The number is 917-388-4683. 917-388-4683. Teresa, has anyone called in? You'll have to turn your computer down, the sound on it, for us to be able to hear you because we're getting the feedback from the computer. Let's try it again. Hello?
Uh-oh.
Which line was it, Teresa? Was it 7?
It was 7. Let me, I'll see if I can grab him. Again, he's been on for a little while. We also have another caller on line 4, but I don't know who that is yet. So,
okay, I'll talk to line 4. Area code 724. How are you tonight?
Hello. Hi, I'm good. How are you?
And is this Krista?
Yes, it is.
I thought I recognized you. What do you have for us tonight, Krista?
I was just wondering, when you say that you can tell a false prophet by their fruit and, you know, how they, I guess, the word that they have, whether it's in love, what happens when, you know, they are prophesying and it's not in love? And it may be the raw word that God spoke to them, but they're not delivering it with any love at all. I mean, is that just an immature prophet, or would you call that a false prophet?
Do you want me to answer, Carlotta?
if you have the answer.
Okay. Were you going to say something?
I was going to ask her what setting it was in, but I'm sure you have a comprehensive answer without even asking that.
Well, I will say this because this did come to my spirit, Krista, and that is that you know that there are prophets that are not seasoned, is what I call it. They're not seasoned, and their hearts aren't exactly in that place where they need to be, and so they may speak maybe possibly out of a harshness or like you said, the spirit of God, the spirit of love, that love is just you're not really sensing. You know, you're not really sensing or perceiving that, but you should. Even if there is an immaturity in that prophet, I mean, some prophets that are unseasoned when they speak, they can sound a little harsh. But, God's still working in them. But even in the harshness of them speaking, the spirit of love, the spirit of God, that love should still be present.
And I believe it can be a religious spirit in us if we judge them too harshly. Now, I'm not trying to excuse anybody, but I know that one thing a fivefold minister is accountable for doing, and that is to know the difference between when someone's carnal, you know, just in the flesh, whether they're just an immaturity or whether they actually have the motive of a false prophet. For instance, Balaam in the Bible was one of the very few people that was called a false prophet who was a prophet of God because he had condescended to having a motivation to take money for prophecy. And that doesn't mean that people shouldn't be paid, but he was taking more like a bribe, you know, to curse the people of Israel. And so God looks at motivations, he looks at maturity, he looks at whether people know the difference between walking in the spirit and flesh. And certainly they should, but as Diane said, everybody has to go to God's training school and learn to be matured and to refine those areas and wounds in their own soul that would affect and discolor the word that they're receiving from God. And so that's why there's schools of the prophets.
That's right. And another thing I would like to say, if a prophet is in a church and has spoken out of term, in other words, when he or she was prophesying over someone and spoke incorrectly, that's why the Bible says that every prophet is to be judged by another prophet. And so when a word is spoken, and if that word is incorrectly and it has hurt the person that, that is receiving the prophecy, which that is a situation that I have just dealt with recently, if a true prophet will humble themselves to receive correction from another prophet, okay, and this prophet that I had a situation here with lately, just has a precious heart and was very humble and received the correction and is doing their part in making everything right, with everyone. And actually, when that happens in a church because prophets are people, and they go through things as well. And sometimes when they're going through things, they may begin to speak something. And as they're speaking it, they can get off into their soul. Anyone can do that prophesying. That's why you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Because you have to grow. And so when a prophecy is given, and it's out of the soul, as I said, it should be something that is corrected by the leader of that house. mm-hmm. and also judged by another process.
And that's why I asked what the setting was, because if we're going to allow prophetic ministry, personal prophetic ministry too, to be done during our services or in our ministries or in our schools, then the leader has to have that loving but firm heart to be able to come alongside and correct that word, not in a harsh way, but to clarify it or whatever needs to be done so that no harm is done. And I've seen that done. I was in a service years ago where even the guest speaker gave a word to an individual and was starting to say how harsh their tongue is. And, of course, we're all thinking the guest speaker sounded pretty harsh to say that in public. And the leader, the pastor of that church, just walked right alongside and took the microphone and corrected it and didn't hand it back. Because our protocol was that we would edify and console and encourage and not mortify people in public.
That's right. Yeah, God never wants to send a Naaman to your door, you know. And if we'll stay in a spirit of love, no matter what God has called us to, then we're always going to operate out of that spirit of love, and it is not going to hurt people. When people are hurt through prophetic words, either it is an immature prophet, unseasoned, or it's a false prophet. It's a person that doesn't have any business, if they've called themselves a prophet, in speaking into people's lives. And another thing is the Bible does tell us now, those who are spiritually mature, if you see your brother in error, then mm-hmm. you go to them and you correct them
mm-hmm.
yes, very gently. And not in pride, not in, well, I've attained something here, you know, and I'm beyond this or past this, because if you do it out of the wrong spirit, then you will find yourself in that same place. And so, mm-hmm. you know, everyone has the, you know, everyone has the ability to share with people when they see someone doing something wrong. But the sad thing is that a lot of times it's not done out of the spirit of love, even if it is the truth, and that's why it hurts people.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Does that help, Krista?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Great. That's super.
Well, I've heard Krista give a couple of straightforward words, but she was right on the money, Apostle Diane. Right on the money, and the words were requested. It wasn't that she accosted someone with this word.
Right.
She requested it, and so she gave them a straightforward word, and it was right on.
Amen. That's what's scary is when someone asks you, and, you know, you're thinking, are you sure? Do you want me to be
mm-hmm.
truthful with you? Well, of course, but some people really don't want to hear. Some people only want to hear what they want to hear and not really what God wants to hear. So you look at, you know, you have to look at the person speaking and then the person receiving, because either way, there can be the wrong attitude there, and there can be manipulation a lot of times, immature prophet, because when you know how to prophesy, you can just, and this is the only way I know how to say it, Carlotta, you can just step into that place. You can just step into that place in the spirit realm, and you can prophesy. But you will get to a place to where in your growth and growing, that you cannot, just because you know something about something or someone, you cannot open your mouth unless the Spirit of God is telling you to open your mouth.
And there is so much controversy over that one point. Where I lived in the South, a lot of us had the anointing that was with Bishop Bill Hammond's camp there.
Uh-huh.
And we could prophesy to person after person when God wanted to. It's not like I just walked through the mall and prophesied to person after person. But, you know, it was not unusual for a prophet from that camp to prophesy to everyone in the church where they were invited to speak, and God was in it, and it was God. But in other areas where I've gone where the knowledge of the prophetic is newer and it's not as commonly known, they seem to fall back on the what I call the old Pentecostal unction, thinking you're false if you prophesy to person after person, because you've got to have a special, overpowering, irresistible unction every time you prophesy. But I tell them, I don't think you'll find many real prophets that agree with you, because it's a walk with God that we have. We're hearing God day in and day out. And so it's not like we absolutely cannot keep ourselves from giving it. You know, we're listening to God all the time. And we believe that God wants to talk to everyone.
That's right.
And I'll say, well, teachers can teach everyone, right? And they'll say, yes. Preachers can preach to everyone, right? Yes. Well, prophets can prophesy to everyone if God wants to.
That's right. That's right. And that doesn't always happen. You know, some services that I've been in, well, one just here recently, the Lord had given me a prophetic word for someone. And this little woman, she was sitting pretty close to the back, and she just, you know, her eyes teared up, and she was just so blessed. And then I went on sharing the word. You know, I was preaching that morning, and I was sharing a prophetic word to the corporate body there. And so it was a prophetic word to that congregation and to that people. But they started pulling in the spirit. They started pulling for individual words. And the Lord only let me prophesy to that one lady. And it was at the, you know, at the beginning of the service. But, you know, I could still feel that pull, but he would not let me go there because the word was a prophetic word that was being given to everyone. And so afterwards, the pastor talked about it, and he said, he had shared with me, he said, well, I thought you were going to start prophesying over everybody. And I said, well, not this time. You know, not this time. That's just not how the Lord would let me go. I said, I would have loved to, and I could have. But what the Lord had me to bring, you know, to your church today, it was prophetic word for everyone there. And so it was really I was really blessed to hear the response of the pastor. He said you know, the church really needs to grow up, and he wasn't just talking about his church, but he said the church, you know, at large, really needs to grow up from wanting to have individual prophecies all the time and to be able to hear the prophetic word of the Lord and to hear the Lord on a daily basis for themselves.
Amen. Let's try it again and see if Apostle Abrams, if we can hear him this time. Apostle Abrams, I'm going to unmute you now. I think I am. Apostle Abrams, are you there? Well?
Try line 8, Carlotta.
Okay, I will. I didn't know how a person could be on two lines at once. Apostle Abrams, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, welcome to the program. What do you have for us tonight?
Oh, I was listening to you guys' show, and it's awesome. You know that? I'm gonna concur with that. The foundation has to be love. I just did a show about a week ago on apostles and prophets. God, He is calling apostles and prophets now as he did such then.
Mm-hmm.
I got some scripture over in Deuteronomy around the 13th chapter. I'm going to read this third verse. Okay, this is Deuteronomy the 13th chapter and the third verse. This is what it says. I'm reading out of the King James Version. It says, "Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet or the dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proving you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You know, the Apostle Paul puts it clear in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. You know, John 3:60, it's that love chapter. There is nothing greater than love. And the foundation is love. The foundation on the believer is love. It can't be any other foundation other than that. And that's how you tell a true prophet. You know, first you have to be a disciple. Jesus tells his disciples over there in the book of John, he says, you know, he had performed the foot wash. And watch what he says. He says, I leave a new commandment, is that ye love one another as I have loved you. He said, by this all men will know that ye are my disciples, if we have love one to another. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. How do you tell a true prophet if he loves God, if he loves God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, and that second is to love the neighbor as yourself? He said, upon these two commandments I hang the whole law and the prophets. So, I mean, it's the foundation of the prophet is going to have to be love. If they're prophesying out of anything else other than love, then, I mean, the scripture, you know, it tells you, and I mean, I didn't write this. It tells you in Deuteronomy, the 13th chapter, beginning at that third verse. You guys are doing an awesome job. Continue to keep up the good work. I preach a lot of love. Matter of fact, that's pretty much the only thing that I really do find worthy to talk about is love. I believe that love covers all sin. And when we remain ye in my love, as Jesus commanded us over there in the book of John, he says, I am the vine, I am the true vine. He says, I want you to remain ye in my love. I believe when you remain in God's love, when you walk in the spirit, not in the flesh, God is pleased. And he said, you know, he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Amen.
And I will pray to my Father that you receive the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, that will lead and guide you through all truth. So I've asked the question. I said, is it possible to receive the Holy Ghost and not love Jesus? And I would say, I don't think it is. You know, in order to receive the Holy Ghost, I believe you have to love. You have to love Jesus. I mean, you have to. You can't, you know, say, well, you think. I mean, that's something that you have to know without a shadow of a doubt. See, I hadn't always really been on his side. About 7 years ago, I was converted. I met him in Birmingham, and he came into my life. And one thing he made clear to me was that he was love. I mean, he made that perfectly clear to me, is that, you know, his compassion, his grace, his mercy, his understanding, and his forgiveness. He said, you know, I'm nothing but love. And he said, you know, unconditionally. So if there's one thing that I know without a certain of a doubt, that God is, he is love. And if we say that we are of him, we have to love. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. We have to love as believers. It's been real listening to your program. Continue to keep up the good work, and God bless you.
God bless you. Excellent point.
Thank you. Praise God.
Excellent point. You know, people can discern our motivations. Like the sorcerer in the New Testament. I mean, people knew if it was a business to him. You know, he wanted to have the Holy Spirit, but so he could make money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Balaam wanted to make money off of placing this curse or finding a way to please this king. And we have to watch out for these spirits of Baal and divination, because some people want to be prophets so badly that they wind up in divination, trying to go to another source to get a specific or a sharp word, or and they're in competition, and it just shows that they're not passionately in love with Jesus. They might be in love with the idea of having a ministry, but they're not passionately in love with Jesus, and that's what I like about you, Apostle Diane. There's no escaping it. You are in love with Jesus.
I am. He really, really is my everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I love people. I love all kinds of people, all types of people. I just love people. And I was thinking about something that was quickened while Apostle Abrams was sharing, about the love, because there's just always, that's just what has always been there, is just that love. You know, even if it is a word of correction, that correction can hurt your feelings, your emotions, or I should say, it can prick your feelings, your emotions, but you still feel the love of God, and you have to choose to humble yourself to go on ahead and to receive that. Even if you have obviously been running, if God has you to share something or to speak something, it's because he's been trying to tell you for a long time and you haven't listened. And
mm-hmm.
so he will send someone,
mm-hmm.
that will speak. He will, I won't say someone, he'll send a prophet, but it will be out of the spirit of love. But on the flip side of that, Carlotta, I was thinking about while he was sharing, this was just quickened to me in my process of growing and maturing, in the office of a prophet. I remember a few times where the Lord used like a prophecy that he would give me for someone that I hadn't totally maybe let go of in a situation or something, and I would prophesy the word of the Lord, and it would just be this amazing word that this person would get. And then later my mind was like, well, they didn't deserve that, God. It was like, they didn't, because God, remember what they did to me. But, I was in a growing process. But that revealed to me and showed me, that the Bible says that the gifts and callings are without repentance. And so we don't want just the gift to prophesy, or the calling to be in office. We want the love of God to abide in us. Because when the love of God is abiding in you, then everything that you do, and Apostle Abrams brought out, one of my favorite chapters in the book of John is in chapter 15.
Mm-hmm.
And because, the Lord's talking about his word abiding in us and us abiding in him. And when his word abides in us, then his love is going to remain in us. And so when we do speak, it is going to be out of a spirit of love. But a prophet that is, unseasoned and is growing and maturing and humbling themselves, God will use prophecies even to bring a deeper place of correction in a prophet's life. See, people don't realize that just because a prophet is speaking something, sometimes it is revealing something, don't think that God isn't using the prophecy to bring a correction in a prophet's life. Because, see, that's really what the Lord was doing. He was showing me, okay, you still need to continue to forgive
mm-hmm.
this person, even though I was speaking it out of a spirit of love. It's an amazing thing when you surrender and you yield to the Lord and you humble yourself and you choose to die, to your flesh. The Lord will, by his spirit, he will show you how to operate, in that love. And so it's amazing to me. It doesn't matter what office you've been called to, but not everyone's called to an office, or what maybe ministry helps that you're called to, or whatever you are doing, it should be as unto the Lord, but it should always be out of a spirit of love. And because the love of God always wins. If you speak something in the wrong tone, even if it is the truth, it is still hurtful to the person listening.
Mm-hmm.
And you can speak the right word, but in the wrong season. You know, prophets can speak the right word. I remember as the Lord was teaching me exactly when to speak forth his words, and, you know, the words that the Lord would give me, because, as you said, Carlotta, we're spending time with the Lord. We're listening to him. We're not just talking all the time, but we're listening to him, and he's sharing things, and he's speaking to us about so many different things, not just people, but events and different places. But a word, one time that I had in my spirit, it was just burning, and it was like, Lord, where am I to speak this word? Well, I carried that word, Carlotta, in my spirit for 13 months. And the Lord sent me out. I had gone to Atlanta, and I was actually going to speak at a breakfast on a Saturday morning. I had come in to Atlanta on that Friday, and the host, she had another event that she had to be at, so the hotel that I was staying in, she told me that a friend of hers was having a meeting there and that I was welcome to go to it. And so I was kind of, you know, prompted to end up going to this meeting on that Friday night. And so I went on down in there, and it turns out that word that I've been carrying for 13 months was a word that was to be delivered in that place that night. It wasn't even for, you know, what I'd gone to speak, you know, that I was going to be speaking at the breakfast the next morning, but it was for that ministry, and the word was a word that was actually the foundational scripture of that ministry. And so, but it was something that I carried for 13 months. One time the Lord, I carried a word for 18 months in my spirit. And, but I could not deliver, I mean, for 18 months, I could not deliver this word to this man of God until my heart was totally pure towards this man. And I can't reveal, I'm not at liberty to reveal the subject or anything about it. It's just that until my heart was totally pure towards this man, towards this individual, I could not speak that word. But when that time came, the Lord released me to speak it, and there was great restoration and healing that came into this individual's life.
That's it. I think that helps define what you mean by seasoned. I don't know why I'm getting a ring back here. Because a person that's a seasoned prophet sees the problem but prophesies to their potential or to the results of what God's going to do, unless God clearly directs them to actually unmask or expose the problem. Even when people have invited me who've been living in gross sin, have said, oh, do you have a word for me? And even when I was in private, I just felt led to say to that person, you don't need to hear it from me. You've already heard it from God. You know, I don't need to tell you what your gross sin is, you know. But a prophet, instead of saying you've got a harsh tongue, you know, et cetera, et cetera, the heart of the Lord, if we ask God, and a seasoned person will say, well, yes, that's the problem, but how do I say it? And he will tell us how to say it so that that person is built up and edified and has new hope for transformation in their life. And the Lord would say something like, you know, if you'll give me your tongue, I'll teach you how to how to have a spirit-led tongue in every way, and you'll be a wonderful expression of my heart and my plans and my purposes, and even be a vision holder for this house, you know, and know what my vision is. And you just, the Lord would explain to them how important it is to be spirit-led every time they open their mouth, because he wants to promote them and wants to bless them and wants them to be a walking demonstration of his heart.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. And it, you know, as long as I've been walking this walk, Carlotta, as I said earlier, very seldom do I actually speak words of correction. It has just been, you know, probably I could count on maybe one, maybe both of my hands, and I'm talking about, you know, years and years and years of having fruit, you know, in this office. And it's funny because people will come to me with situations and everything, and even other prophets, you know, will call me, and apostles as well, and say, you know, they'll share a little bit about a situation, and they'll say, well, you know, I need, you know, should I say this? Should I go and say da 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 da? And my advice always is to pray before you say.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because, and I'll remind them, you know, I've been walking in this for a long time, and I say this very humbly because I am very seasoned, and if I hardly speak, you know, words like that to people, then I'm thinking, you know, who are you? If I've been paying this price for, you know, for a long time to walk, because there's a price that you have to pay to walk in love.
Mm-hmm.
There really is. You have to totally, well, I don't know if maybe I should say it like that, but, you know, you really do esteem others above yourself. And your goal is to, it's not about you and that person in your relationship, even with that person, but it's always about that person's relationship with God.
That's it.
And so I will, you know, advise, and I will speak this to other prophets and leaders, you know, as well. You know, I just pray. You know, you need to pray and really know that you have a release from God, and that he is actually leading you by his Spirit to open your mouth and speak, because otherwise you're going to possibly damage the soul of that person and wound their spirit, and you don't want to do that.
Well, and I hear some people, I can just hear them right now in my spirit, thinking of certain individuals that have damaged them or others. And so I just don't want to take up anybody's offense, but I want to be even more clear about what you're saying, that when a person's speaking out of their soul, carnal or whatever, they might be trying to fix somebody and saying what they think they need to do to be fixed. They might be trying to control them and say that God said it. They might be trying to coach them when actually they have their own Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit isn't asking for your help, we need to stand back and pray. And they might be judging that person with condemnation, whereas, as you said before, we're, like in 2 Timothy 2:23 through 26, I think, when you see another taken in a fault, we're supposed to restore them in a spirit of gentleness or meekness, keeping in mind that it could have been us, you know, and restoring them lest they be taken by the snare of the enemy. And so our motivation is to restore others, not to establish a ministry or our own presence or our own anything, or even to establish ourselves as that person's spiritual mother or anything. We are just to be a pure expression of God's heart.
Yes.
Amen.
Always an extension of his heart and his hand. And, you know, when people will begin to realize that, just as Apostle Abrams, I mean, he hit it just so well, is loving the Lord your God with everything that is in you, and then loving others. If you're walking in a spirit of love, you know, and you're speaking the word of the Lord, it's not going to hurt people. And so a lot of times we do. I've had many people that have prophesied even, you know, out of their soul. They're speaking straight out of their soul. Well, as a leader, and this was way back when I had just even the ladies' meetings, this is before my ministry was birthed, or before I started pastoring, but I just had the cell group of you know, the women that came to my home that we met, which was under a church, and it was a part of what the church that I went to at that time, what they did, they had these cell groups, and I was the leader then. Even then, in that, the Lord was molding me and training me as a leader. And I had a lady who would come in, and she would prophesy, but she began to prophesy amiss. Well, I had to address that, but she also prophesied, but from the wrong spirit. And you would think, uh-oh. Well, now how could you do that? Well, because the gifts and callings are without repentance. Well, you can go to church on Sundays, and you can go on Friday night and Saturday night and live like the devil and go out and, you know, have, I mean, you can just live in all kinds of sin, and the spirit gift of prophecy will still come forth. And so I had to let this woman know that she could not prophesy any longer over people because her spirit wasn't right. And so in Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, towards the end of the chapter, the word of God says to come out from amongst that which is unclean. And then the Father says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons, and you shall be my daughters. And then he says, in chapter 7 and verse 1, he says, therefore, having these promises to cleanse yourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit.
That's right.
And so leaders have to be responsible. You know, you can't be afraid if someone's prophesying that they're prophesying with the wrong spirit, because what happens, because she was under my leadership in that meeting, I was going to be held accountable as her leader and allowing her to pray for other women and to prophesy to them, and, you know, because there was the impartation of the wrong spirit that was going on. And so, you know, you can't, even with people prophesying, it's not just a prophet that can discern that, but anyone, as you said earlier, can discern a prophecy that is coming forth that is not of God, and or if it's coming from the wrong spirit. And so, and then that person, they have to be spoken to, and if they're not willing to humble themselves to get their heart right, then you don't want to be responsible and accountable for someone praying and prophesying in your midst that's releasing other spirits.
Amen. And what they say in the prophecy might be 100% scripture. I've mm-hmm. seen a witch come in and do that before. It's 100% scripture, so I could just, this church was built in the round, and so I could look around and I could see that some people were thinking she should be allowed to continue because it was perfectly biblical. And I could see the intercessors bowing their heads because they knew it was from the wrong spirit, though. The devil will quote scripture. That doesn't make it of God in that particular sense. And so it wasn't until the elders went to her elbows to encourage her to yield to the rest of the service, and she started cursing them out loud. It wasn't until that happened that the rest of the church began to realize that the leadership was right, that this person's of the wrong spirit. And so it's, whether it's of the Holy Spirit or a spirit from the dark side, has everything to do with it. Because what a person says might be biblical, it might be accurate, and it might become true and still be a false prophecy if it wasn't from the Holy Spirit.
That's right. And Carlotta, I'm thinking about in Hebrews, and I'm sorry, it's just completely, I can't think of the exact scripture. I want to say chapter 4 in verse 1, but it says that, or maybe it's chapter 4, verse 12, it says that the word of God is quicker than any two-edged sword, and it pierces and divides asunder the soul and the spirit, the bone marrow and the joints, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of a man's heart. And so that's why it's so important, whether you are walking in a fivefold ministry gift, office gift, or you're the ministry of helps, or, you know, you're walking in the giftings of God, the Word of God is your life and spirit. And so you have to stay and you have to be faithful in the Word of God so that you can discern, because the Word of God living in you is Christ living in you. You're partaking of His flesh. And so what happens is when prophecies begin to come forth, if they're not of the Spirit of God, then then you can discern that, excuse me, but you discern because of the authority of God's Word that is in you. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time someone, and this was in a public place, and they were speaking a prophecy to me, they were prophesying to me. And whenever they got through, they said, "Well, you just weren't receiving that, Diane. How come?" And I said, "Well, I really appreciate your kindness." I said, "But you were prophesying from your soul, and I could not receive that." And so at that time, I was mature enough. Of course, that person wasn't real happy, but, as you said earlier, and I believe I've even shared this, the prophecies that come forth, it must bear witness with the Spirit of God, and it must be with the Spirit of love, and prophecy is not flattery. There's a lot of people that speak words that are flattery, but they're focusing, the focus is on the person, and it's really not focusing that person to God in their relationship.
Amen. I'd like to give a couple more examples after I encourage our callers, give you a last call here to call in. Please join us and ask your questions. Don't go to bed tonight wishing you had. It's 917-388-4683. That's 917-388-4683. I'd like to give a couple of other examples of what things that hit me as a false prophecy. I'm still not calling that person a false prophet in this case, because the Bible seldom calls a person a false prophet. Now, it refers many more times to a false teacher, by the way, bringing heresies and destructive doctrines into the church. There's severe warnings about that. But I have seen people hear something in natural knowledge. Mm-hmm. And what has bothered me is if they have involved me in giving this word from natural knowledge, like called me up to be part of this team, then I feel like I'm on the spot, because I know, for instance, this one lady that she only had a breast lump, and this other person presented it as cancer that's going to spread all the way through their abdomen and affect their liver, and because of this wonderful word that he's giving tonight, they're going to be healed. And I'm standing there thinking, well, that healing won't be hard to do because they don't have all that. All they've got is a lump in their breast, and you probably heard that they went to the doctor today. And so I confronted some people. And, he said, well, that's what happened to so-and-so. It went that way with them. Well, that's not a prophecy. That's inventing a big case of something so that you can claim that your prayer healed it. I mean, that's ridiculous. Oh. And, you know, I've seen some other things along that line that were...
Well, I've got a question, you guys.
Okay.
I'm wondering what the protocol is. Now, I'm identifying a lot with what you're talking about when people are prophesying out of their soul. I've seen that happen a couple of times. And the leadership didn't correct that person. And, I mean, in a case like that, what do you do? Do you go to the leadership in private afterwards? Or what would you say is the proper protocol in that?
In this case, I did. What would you say, Diane?
Well, if that happened, I once again, I would pray. I pray for... in so many situations before I ever say anything, excuse me, and then if I felt the unctioning of the Holy Spirit to go and to speak that word to the leaders, that I perceived in my spirit that what was spoken was not of God, then I would, you know, I would share it. It depends on your relationship with the leaders in that church, and I would have to have the peace of God, to pray. Now, let me inject something right here, because this really opens up the door. Something that prophets do is prophets help pastors. They don't hurt pastors. They help pastors and pastors who are open and leaders who are open to have prophets to come in, and which I've been invited into several different places as a prophet and presented as a prophet and invited into intercessory prayer groups to bring insight and even correction if it was needed. The door was open to be able to say if this was of God or not of God. And so when you hear something in a church, is what you're saying, Teresa, once again, it's, you know, how's your relationship with these pastors? Because if you don't know them very well, and this person that, you know, has spoken out, if they do have a relationship, and obviously there has to be for the leaders to let this woman speak out, you know, you just have to know that you know that the Spirit of God is leading you to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, in my case, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it would just bring destruction in the relationships.
Well, I wasn't sure whether I had done properly. I just felt like, and this was someone that gave a word in front of the whole church body. To me, it was very confusing. And it just fell flat. It didn't feel like God. And afterwards, I talked to the person in private. And I don't know if it ever went anywhere because it didn't seem to, you know, change. And I don't know, as just a young person, as far as being in the ministry and, you know, trying to my best to follow what the Lord was showing me to do, I thought, well, maybe I should have just talked to the pastor first. I didn't know whether I did it incorrectly or what.
Yeah, did you know the pastors real well?
Fairly well. I was on the intercessory team, so I had his ear, but it was a situation where that in a worship setting, and it just, I don't know, I think the person has never really received correction, and it's amazing to me that sometimes even pastors don't really sense the same thing. So I just kind of let it lay, you know. But I think it's helpful to really just know what the protocol is. And like you said, the praying beforehand and just getting confirmation on what to do.
Yeah.
Well, and asking questions is a great way to approach something. The Lord might say something in between silence and in between reporting that person, so to speak. And one thing that's in between is you can go to your leadership with a sense of humility and ask them, was that word from God? Or tell them that you know, that you just really wondered about that word that day, and just begin softly, you know, and see what they say. Because if they have a number of people asking them, was that word really of God, then that leader, you know, they may be needing permission themselves to judge the prophets or people that claim to be prophets. And if enough people question it, they might maybe get the strength that they need to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying.
Another question. A lot of pastors don't know how to handle situations like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Another question I had, Diane, was with regard to any deceptive teachings that you felt like God wanted to talk about tonight that you want to just share with the rest of the listeners. I was kind of interested to see if he had anything that you wanted, that he wanted you to say about that.
Well, as we know, there throughout the years, as we grow in the Lord and as we increase in our discernment, then we find more and more of, you know, incorrect teachings. And sometimes we don't know if it is from a false teacher, you know, if the teacher is a false teacher, or once again, if it's an immature teacher. And I'll give a couple examples, but I'm really quick, and if I could just go back to one little thing with what we were just on. Is that okay?
Oh, sure.
What we were just sharing about, something that was real key that the Holy Spirit quickened me to, is when in a situation like that too, it's not only just praying, you know, about saying something to the leaders, but also it's praying for that person
mm-hmm.
that spoke out. And then if we know in our spirit, in that place of growth, if we know in our spirit that it was incorrect, and because a lot of times, you know, prophecies that are not right, like what you were saying, did you say it was just kind of dead and flat? Sometimes you can hear, like I've heard words that have come out of a person's soul, and it's just like coins dropping down into a tin can. It's just empty. You know, there's nothing really to it. But we can step into that place as a intercessor and praying. And if you know in your spirit and it's not bearing witness with your spirit, and then you can pray for that person that spoke, you know, for that lady, but also you can pray for everyone that listened, you know, that taking authority over any words of death or any words spoken that they would not take root in a person's heart.
Oh, that's
and
good.
I would say probably 80% of the time that's what prophets do. They don't actually say anything. They are guarding and praying, loosing and binding prayers, and carrying the vision of the house, and, you know, noticing who's with the vision and who's not, but not to reject them, but to impart it to them.
That's right. That's exactly it. And what I've found in walking in this journey, as one called to the office, of a prophet, most of what I do is intercession and praying.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was just really quickened to me, and I just really wanted to share that. Now, to the false teachers, to the teachings, once again, the importance of staying true and faithful in the intaking of the Word of God every day
mm-hmm.
is going to keep you in alignment with God, and is going to enable you to discern what is being said, if it's false or not. And I can't remember if I shared this on one of the programs about, you know, recently, maybe y'all can help me remember, but one of the scriptures I'm thinking about is the scripture in John where the Word of God says that he must increase so I must decrease. And I think you and I might have been talking about it, Carlotta,
right.
But the thing about that scripture is that it's been taught by many leaders. It's been quoted and it's been said the opposite of what it says in the Word of God. And that is, we've said we must decrease. You know, we've got to decrease so he can increase in us. But that is not what the Word says. So it has put a false responsibility in people's lives, and it's a negative thing, causing people to look at themselves, okay, I've got to decrease in this. Well, God wants us to increase, and he wants us to multiply and replenish and, you know, and take dominion. And so he's not into decreasing us in that sense. But because that scripture has been quoted incorrectly, it has caused us to have to, some to think that they have to work at, okay, if he's ever going to increase in my life, then I've got to work at this, and I've got to find out, you know, what do I need to decrease in? And simply, what the scripture, and when you read it in the context, the scripture, as we worship the Lord, and we are in his presence, and we're magnifying him, and adoring him, and just thanking him for who he is, all of a sudden, he begins to increase in your life, and you begin to decrease. It's, you know, it's when you magnify him and worship him, he just increases. It's your focus becomes more and more on him and not on yourself.
Amen.
And so in that process, you are decreasing. So when you come out of that time of having that worship with him, where he has increased in you and he has been so magnified, you know, you're going to want to do what is right. You know, you're going to want to get the things out of your life, anything that will hinder you. And so the focus, our focus should always be Jesus.
Amen.
You know, and not us. It's like people are a lot of times more sin conscious than they are God conscious.
Amen.
And, you know, Carlotta, the glory cloud is in this room again. It's in my office. Oh, my goodness. It's just so beautiful. The love of God, I know, is just being manifested to so many right now that are listening. And God loves you so dearly. And the purpose of the fivefold ministry, once again, the purpose of the prophet is to make God's will be known to you. It's to point you towards Christ. It's to point you towards him. And so always, when we're always in everything that you say to people, it's even in the bringing correction, those of you who are more spiritually mature, your focus is always Jesus. It's not what someone is doing that is wrong. It's your focus is to turn their eyes upon Jesus, to turn people to the Lord. And,
amen.
And, you know, stay in that spirit of love, but I'm just overtaken by the glory of God in this place, goodness.
Well, and a prophet ought to be an expression of God's heart and love even without saying anything, because we've been in God's presence. And sometimes people are jealous of that anointing, and sometimes people try to copy what we do. And I want to say one thing about that. like, for instance, there's John Paul Jackson's book on, you know, Don't Become a Needless Casualty of War, that when we are coming against rulers and principalities or powers or kings or whatever, we need to know that it's God's idea, that he's in it, but we need to do things as a team, too. You can try to copy what someone else does, even with a worship style or the way they pray, and you're no further ahead because it's not of the Holy Spirit. What we need to do is to have spent the time with God, literally hours with God, that when we're ministering, that we're ministering his presence to people and they will know him, not just that we've said something. And I want to say that I believe that the people that have the most spiritual power and authority often say the least in a meeting, that they are praying, that they are emanating God's presence there, and they don't need to establish their own presence. I've been in a place where I refused to go to the altar one more time years ago to be prayed for deliverance from rejection cycles, and I was very aware when a prophet, I didn't even have to turn around, I felt him, that he came and sat behind me in the church. And it sounds egotistical, but I know that he was praying for me for like the whole 20 minutes or so of that altar call. And when it was over, I turned around, and sure enough, it was him. And I just said, I didn't hear a word you said. And he just smiled and said, you didn't need to. Because the prophet knows that they have been given the spiritual power and authority, and they don't need to prove it. That's another motivation. They don't need to establish themselves. Well, because God is doing it. God establishes it. Oh, Teresa, do we have another caller?
Well, we've got two more callers. It looks like Apostle Abrams has another comment on line 7.
Okay, what we can do is give about 5 minutes to each one because we want to give Apostle Diane time to pray for us.
Sure.
Apostle Abrams.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you have another comment?
Yeah, I have a comment. You know, I was just really listening and just listening to you guys. You guys are doing something awesome. God has sent me into a couple of churches. Before destruction, he'll send a prophet. He will send a prophet. Mm-hmm. And I've went into a couple of churches and I've conversed with the pastor and I've asked the question. I said, you know, when was the last time you really talked about some love? You know, let me tell you what God just really put in my spirit. Love is, you can't make money off love. You cannot sell it. Okay, God gave me a task. When I accepted his call, he gave me a task. He said, I want you to go into, I'm a black American. He said, I want you to go into the black churches because they're lacking love. He said, go in and establish that foundation. Love is not popular in the black church because you can't sell it. If people get true love, the love of Christ, which is meat, it's not milk, that's meat.
Yeah.
It'll go a long way. God has sent me into some churches and I've talked to the pastor. I said, hey, I said, you know, when's the last time you preached on some love in a church? I wasn't real receptive. It was not real receptive, and I asked the question. I said, "How can that not be receptive? If I'm asking, when was the last time he preached on some love? It's because I discerned the spirit by the spirit. It wasn't there. Love is not a popular thing in the black church. It's because you cannot sell it. It doesn't make money. And you know, God just really." He put that in my spirit. That's the reason why the adversary has fooled them. It's lacking. Because if they truly get the love of Christ in their hearts and their minds, their life will never be the same.
Yeah.
That goes for all of us.
I agree.
That goes for all of us. It doesn't matter what color you are. There's many times there's an agenda, and it shows. That we're not a true ambassador of the king because we've got our own agenda we're representing.
True.
Let me see who this other caller is. Area code 250.
That's Diane's friend, John Tracy.
All right.
Oh. Hey, John.
Hello, Diane. How are you?
John, I'm blessed. So good to hear your voice.
I've been listening to you, and I've been listening to your the broadcast here, and some good things have been coming out tonight. A lot of good things have been spoken about. I just got into the broadcast the last probably a little bit, and the lady had told me that you had spoken about 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 9, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. And, you know, this whole thing is that the reason why the prophet has been looked down upon and not been accepted into the church is because there's such a fine line in prophecy. I've been in ministry for 30-some-odd years now, and I've been used in the gift of prophecy many times. And the thing is that young prophets, and even older prophets as well, they have to know that there's a fine line between the spirit and the flesh. When you're prophesying, you only speak that which God is speaking to you, and it's so easy to move over into the flesh and begin to speak out of your own thoughts and out of your own mind. So important, so very important to be tuned in to what the Spirit of God is doing. I believe so heartedly that when you are sharing the love of God, as our brother just spoke about, then the Word of God will touch people's lives and change people's lives. Word of prophecy comes to change. Many times it does come to correct, okay? But there is a setting for correction.
Mm-hmm.
And I think and I believe that what's going to take place now in the body of Christ is that the fivefold ministry will begin to function correctly,
mm-hmm.
with the teacher and the pastor and the evangelist and the prophet as well. Because now is the time that the world needs to hear the Word of God. Amen?
Amen. Amen. That is so true. And, John, what you're sharing and then what Carlotta said a while ago about, Carlotta, you said a key word, team. And, you know, team, we are on the same team. We are a team. And together, team is together, everyone achieves more.
Amen.
And so when
team
we
ministry
work
is
together,
so team ministry is so important in the church today.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many people that are being long rangers. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
They're long rangers in the church. They're doing everything, but they don't release those gifts in the church that need to be released. So they're missing out. They're missing out in a fullness of what God has for them.
Well, in our prophetic school, John, we have just spent 24 hours, two 12-hour Saturdays, talking about what team ministry is and isn't. And maybe it's not until you've been on a team or suffered with someone being a lone ranger refusing to have teams that you can really appreciate how God matures each one of us as we have to humble ourselves to work on a team. And, you know, the prophet learns to serve the rest of the team and the church in humility rather than being a know-it-all or the exposer or anything else, you know, to serve.
That is exactly right. That is so right. I mean, our prime example is Jesus Christ. He came to serve.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't come to condemn the world, but he came to that the world might be saved. And that's what he wants us to do. You know, iron sharpens iron,
mm-hmm.
and in a team, that's what happens. I've worked with so many teams. I've been a part of so many teams over the years, and it's so good, and it's and it just flows so well mm-hmm. when team ministry is working together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so true. That's
amen.
So true.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
That's awesome.
That's why there's a protocol to learn. And while teachers, you know, their character has to be refined, and pastors and evangelists and so on, there's something about the prophetic gift that is so powerful when it's good, and when it's right, and when it's God, and when it's accurate, and can be so destructive when it's not. I appreciate what Jack Deere said once when he said his own bad attitude got mixed in with a prophecy in a public situation, and that some people won't like this comment, but I do believe we're held more responsible. He said that he had an infirmity that struck him, I think it was for like 7 months or something after that, and God said, you will not use the prophetic office to express your bad attitudes toward people. You will not.
Wow.
And boy, I heard that. You know, I heard that because people will say God won't make you sick, but I'm not going to get into a theological debate here. I just say God can do whatever he wants, and we best be an expression of his attitude.
So we open ourselves
Amen.
Up.
Mm-hmm.
We do. We open ourselves up when we don't stay in alignment with the Word of God and when we don't walk in a spirit of love. And we have to say, if you're going to walk, if you've been one, I should say if you've been one that's been called to the office of prophet, then you better be one that is living and walking every day in a spirit of love and in a spirit of forgiveness.
Amen.
Because
that's why we have so many recordings in our ministry training school online at nowfaith.tv. We probably have a dozen recordings on the office of the prophet, on prophetic people, on the protocol, what it is and what it isn't. And we're going to have more. We're starting our fourth year on nowfaith.tv because in these end times, God is pouring out His Spirit, and men and women can prophesy, and young and old, and we need to be teaching people. You know, we've kind of lost the art in some circles of having mothers and fathers in the faith, and we need to be teaching and raising up people who are responsible to spend that time with God and to really know His heart and to share it. So I just want to encourage you all to go to nowfaith.tv. And also, I want you to be able to get in touch with Diane, and I want to have time for her to pray for us too. So, Diane, what contact information would you like to share tonight?
Okay. People can go to my website once again. It's www.dove-ministries.com. And there will be a contact page that has an email address on it that they can get a hold of me. They can call area code 972-772-5544. And those two ways right there would be the best way to get a hold of me. And so I do want to pray for, you know, those who have been hurt by, you know, prophecies, prophetic words, people that have not spoken out of a spirit of love. And even there may be some pastors and some leaders that are listening tonight, and you were hurt by someone who came that was a prophetic intercessor and brought correction and rebuke into your life. And it's caused you to step back and not even want to have the prophetic operating in your church. But in this hour, we must have the prophetic word of the Lord in our house or in the houses of God, in churches, because if the prophetic is not going forth, then we don't want to be in that place where the Lord is not moving on our behalf, because the church is being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ, which is the spirit of prophecy. And so where prophecy is going forth and the word of God is being released in a church, the angel of the presence of the Lord is in that house. And once that word is spoken and is released, then the angel goes and sees to it that that word of God comes to pass, that, you know, the word of God is being hearkened to. And so we're prophetic people, and everyone can prophesy, but not everyone is called to that office of a prophet.
Right.
And so if I can pray, do you want me to go ahead and pray now?
Yes, please do, for those that are wounded and for all those that are a little intimidated. They believe they might be able to hear the voice of the Lord, but they maybe haven't connected with someone to mentor them in it, and pray for them too.
Okay. And that's a hard thing too. It took me 30 minutes to get out my first prophetic word. So grateful that it was a man of God who was very gentle and just let me stutter and you know, forever. And but once again, I was so grateful, because it is kind of a frightening thing. You know, you're saying, well, this is what the Lord has shown me, and, you know, this is what the Lord is saying. And that is just not a real light thing. We should never flippantly just say that, because we have to understand we are speaking on his behalf. And so we can't add anything to what he's saying, or we can't take anything away from what he's saying. We must speak, as John was sharing, exactly what the Lord is telling us to say. And so, and I appreciate it, John calling in. He's a dear friend of mine. He's a prophet of God, and he really encouraged me in the gifting of the prophet in my life. And so thank you, John, if you're still listening. Can't wait to see you next month. Okay, let's pray. Father, we just come to you right now through the blood of Jesus once again. And, Father, we thank you that we can enter boldly into your throne room. And, Father, I'm just lifting up to you right now, Father God, every person who has ever been hurt by the words of a person who has claimed to be a prophet, or just someone who has just prophesied, Father, a word that has brought death into that person's life and has hurt their soul and has damaged their soul. And, Father, I just pray for them right now, Lord God, that that you would just let the balm of Gilead begin to flow down into the deep recesses of their heart, Father, where they just could not get over the fact that a leader, that someone, a prophet, a leader, a fivefold ministry gift would speak something that would be so damaging to them and would hurt them as an individual. And, Father, I just pray for the healing in their heart right now. And, Father, I just pray that as they begin to encounter your love, Father, in their hearts, that they would begin to just release these so-called prophets of God, and even these who were unseasoned and not seasoned, didn't have any seasoning at all. Excuse me, and they were just speaking out of a harshness. Father, I just pray, Lord God, as they just begin to release them and to release the judgments, Father, towards those who have held a judgment in their heart. Father, just allow your Holy Spirit just to cover them right now and to hover over them. And, Father, I pray for pastors and leaders right now who have had those who have come as intercessors with the prophetic anointing that has released words that have hurt them as well. It has brought a lot of destruction, and it has even caused them to some to step back from walking in that place of leadership that they've been called to. Father, I just pray for that healing to just begin to manifest in their hearts. And Lord, I just speak and pray the blood of Jesus to cover their minds right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that your healing power, that the love of God is going forth right now. And Father, I just stand with those who are in agreement with this prayer right now. I stand with them, and Father, we release those that have hurt us in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
We release them to you, and we commit their body, soul, and spirit unto your hands, Lord God. And Father, for those, Lord God, who are listening, that they know that they have a word in them, but they're intimidated somewhat, Father, I just speak in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you have given them a spirit of love and power and a sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, that they know your voice, that they can speak forth your words. And so I just release you from any inhibitions right now in the name of Jesus, and from any timidity right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that your Holy Spirit in us gives us the boldness to speak whatever you have given to us to speak.
Yes, Lord.
And so, Father, I thank you for all of those that are rising up, that faith is even rising up in them now. Father, that as they open their mouth, Lord God, as they're being quickened and unctioned in the weeks and days and months to come, Father, that they'll open their mouth and they'll see that your word is true. That as they open their mouth, you will fill it, and Father, they will speak forth that which you have purposed for them to release at that moment and at that time and in that place. And Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for making us a prophetic people, for giving us the honor and privilege of hearing your voice, of knowing your will, of knowing your words, and we thank you for the honor of being able to speak and to declare your words so that people will know you more, Father, and they'll know your will in their lives. And Father, we give you all the glory and honor and praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Father, we thank you that there are some listening tonight and will be listening who know that they just kind of come at things from your slant instead of the people's slant, and they've wondered about that. Maybe they've thought, well, the pastor is always representing the people to God, you know, but I'm always motivated to represent God's heart to the people. And I just thank you that you're beginning to define in them, you know, that prophetic heart that you've given them to know your heart. And while they're mindful of the people and interceding and all, still their passion is to make you known. And I just thank you that you're making a way in the time and the energy and even schedule changes for some who want to be able to spend more time with you. I thank you that you're bringing mentors alongside, and if they will have open eyes and ears to see it, that you're bringing mentors alongside who will teach them how to minister your heart through the giftings that they have and in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. I thank you for those who will even become our students in Now Faith TV and will just be willing to submit themselves to be in a school of prophets and to learn how to minister you more clearly, because in these last days, oh Lord, we just thank you that the harvest is so white and people are so hungry for spiritual things like they've never been before. I just thank you for all the people that we've had on this program that have been willing to give of their time to help those who you're raising up to be in your Great Commission Army to reach people in these last days. And I even want to pray for them. I'll pray for Barbie Breathitt that's coming on, and she's going to be sharing with us more about encounters with you, God, through dreams and during our sleep. And I want to pray for Diane being with us again in 2 weeks, that all will go well with her and her travels and all her commitment, that she will be able to really express to us adequately. It's so amazing how to have more intimacy with you, Lord. And for Dennis Kramer, who's going to be sharing with us your prophecies, Lord, they're all yours, and how they've come true and how amazingly, even scary accurate they are sometimes. But we just all want to grow in confidence in you, Lord, that our total confidence will be in you. It won't be in ourselves. It won't be copying what someone else has done. It won't be doing what we've done before, but that we'll have that vibrant relationship with you, because you're the creator and it's always new and different and wonderful. So I just thank you, Lord. I just want to give you praise and thank you for what you're doing in our lives, and that we will do greater works than you have done, but it's you inside us doing it. We just thank you for the privilege and the honor of being alive in these last days. So, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you, thank you for those that are learning how to hear God's voice. Amen. Amen. And I also want to say that we've got a whole series on how to hear God's voice on our website at Crosswalk Life. That's www.cwlinc.com. And we just bless you with open spiritual eyes and ears, and hope you'll join us next time for more Crosswalk Talk, more about Jesus. We love you, Lord. Amen.